Britain's new entrepreneurs. Young guns go for it. Today's internet-savvy students are starting their own businesses and forging their own path in life.
Poppy Dinsey, 23, fashion blogger. It is 10 a.m. on the first day of London Fashion Week, and Poppy Dinsey has already been photographed four times. "I think it's the coat," she says, as yet another blogging fashionista takes a snap of her canary-yellow Burberry Macintosh. "I am a walking highlighter, essentially." The coat is just one example of Dinsey's uncanny ability to channel the latest sartorial trends with consummate ease. Last year, she turned this talent into a thriving business by launching What I Wore Today, WIWT.com, a blog that does exactly what it says on the tin by uploading photographs of Dinsey's chosen outfit on a regular basis, accompanied by her irreverent commentary. A jumper featuring an appliqué reindeer is deemed, well, Christmassy. Cut me, I bleed port. The website has details of where to buy the clothes, and for each sale directed through WIWT.com, Dinsey gets a percentage. "I started the site as a New Year's resolution," she says, sipping a coffee outside Somerset House in London, as various model types totter past in impractical high heels and voluminous capes. "I was already posting what I wore on Twitter. I had 2,500 followers before I launched the site, and I thought I'd try it for a year to see what happened. It wasn't a ball ache to do. I mean, I'm getting dressed every day anyway." But Dinsey has turned getting dressed into a successful business model. There are now plans to expand the site into a social network where anyone can upload their daily outfits and where there'll be competitions in different parts of the country where users can vote for the most fashionable in Leeds, Manchester or Bristol. Again, any sale made through the website will be monetized through affiliate deals. Vodafone was so impressed by Dinsey that it recruited her to be an official blogger at London Fashion Week. "The site kind of supports itself, but I'm here being paid by Vodafone, and that sponsorship is what keeps me afloat," she says. "The biggest outlay was £4,000 to buy the domain name, because I realised if I was trying to build a global brand, it wasn't going to work without the .com. It is perhaps a curious career for a woman who graduated from UCL in Economics, Business and East European Studies in 2008. But Dinsey insists she never liked the traditional office environment. After graduating, she worked for two web startup companies specialising in property searches. "If I worked hard on something and it didn't get used, I'd be furious. And I got really sick of working with estate agents." Instead, she moved back in with her parents, near Guildford, and set up What I Wore Today. The recession, Dinsey says, has changed young people's attitude towards entrepreneurship. "There's a feeling that there's nothing to lose. A lot of people are broke. I don't have money to go out, but even my friends in full-time employment have less money, so it's not like they're all out doing champagne while I'm stuck at home. That's made it easier." And does she already know what she'll be wearing tomorrow? "Oh yeah, I've got it all written down and planned for the week ahead." She laughs. "I've turned my OCD into a business."
Joshua Magidson, 24, founder of online ordering site Eat Student. "You are a first-year university student returning from a long night at the pub with an urgent need to fill an empty stomach. You scour your halls of residence for takeaway menus. Home cooking is out of the question, and find none. So you go online in search of your nearest pizza producer." That was the experience Joshua Magidson had during his first few weeks at Nottingham University in 2006. Unable to find a list of takeaways on the internet, let alone menus and ordering facilities, he and some friends decided to create an online directory for their fellow students. Originally, it wasn't even a business idea. But then we realised that the people who ran the takeaways were keen, so it was a no-brainer to charge them for it. The business went from there. At first, eachstudent.co.uk was a pocket money earner that they managed on the side. But as Magidson prepared to graduate in 2008, the economy was giving out negative signals. "I had friends who'd left the year before and still didn't have jobs. One guy did 30 interviews before he was taken on. It was decision time. We could either subject ourselves to all these interviews, or we could just go for it. I didn't have a mortgage or a family to support, and I was living at home rent-free. If I was going to be an entrepreneur, now was the time. After graduating, Magidson and co-founder Edward Green started rolling out to other universities. They upgraded the site and introduced an online ordering system, but business was slow to pick up. The main downside initially was the fact that we didn't have a wage. In this industry, you need a large volume of orders to start making any money at all, and we were getting two or three orders a night. As each student's popularity spread, thanks to vigorous marketing campaigns and slogans such as sex, drugs and egg spring rolls, its founders worked at nights and weekends to make sure that orders went through and hungry customers were satisfied. The business came close to failing several times, but eventually the hard work paid off. Last August, an established online ordering company called Just Eat saw the lucrative niche that each student was tapping. We're the only one that solely targets students, and poured money into the site. Now, Magidson has more than 300 restaurants and 15 UK universities in his database. He moved operations from his bedroom at home to the Just Eat offices in North London, and he has just hired his first full-time employee, a sales manager fresh from university. Green left last year to start his own company. Magidson's aim now is to grow as quickly as possible to all the universities in the UK and turn this into a national brand. He also has an eye on the international market. I'd definitely encourage doing something like this instead of finding a safety net job, he says. It's so much more interesting and it means you handle every single aspect of business. Even if it fails and you decide to get a job instead, you've got genuine experience on your CV and you can speak about things you've done. I think that's so much more impressive. Gerard Jones, 21, founder of the Gerard School of Football. Third-year student Gerard Jones is taking a rare day off work to show me his footballing empire. Standing in the penalty box of a pitch at Hull University, we stop to paw its 3G surface. Rubbery and crumbly, it resembles tarred grass, but is genius, I'm assured. It's also the proposed surface for his new £3.5 million training ground. Meet Gerard Jones, founder of the Gerard School of Football, and, at 21, Arsenal's youngest director of football in the club's soccer school's history. Despite a decent stint as a youth professional for Halifax Town and a trial at Chelsea, Jones's fledgling career was terminated, quite suddenly, at 19. I had my contract ripped up in my face. Actually ripped. I didn't have a pot to piss in. Still reeling from shock, he applied to study sports coaching at Hull, and by spring the following year had set up a local coaching school. In its first year, the Gerard School of Football taught more than 4,000 pupils and transformed Jones into a local hero. A vast poster of him, decked out in his unique Guantanamo orange-coloured GSF kit, hangs in the city's main shopping centre. A year later, he was spotted by Arsenal's soccer schools and assigned to run their Humberside and East Yorkshire branch, and given a role as scout for the club's youth team. Jones loves what he does, refuses to disclose what he earns, enough, and keeps mum about his dealings with Arsene Wenger, a quiet man. Such modesty is unusual in football, but given Jones's wobbly trajectory, it is unsurprising. I always knew I'd make a better coach than player, he confesses over a canteen fry-up by the science block, and it's his very failings that form the meat of his method. Basically, he says, he lacked attitude. If I had 3,000 people screaming for my blood, I'd crumble. Why? Because I wasn't taught how to deal with the mental stuff. Jones's coaching method very much deals with the mental stuff. Still, Jones misses playing football, and should a club call, admits that he'd sign in a heartbeat. But I'd miss this, he says, picking at a box of chips, the junk food, the self-employment. Man United wanted me as a coach, but I wanted to do something off my own whack, so I said no. His school also serves as rehab for fallen footballers. One coach was released from Hull City and worked at a call centre before Jones employed him. Another worked the tills at Tesco before coaching part-time. He employs 10 staff in total, including his parents. Further expansion is on hold until Jones graduates, though. He grimaces, "My degree's so boring. I don't think it's worth doing one unless you are entering into law or something. And I want to be England manager." Ambitious? Maybe. But given that, Post-World Cup, Jones, then 20, was given odds of 1,000-1 to replace Fabio Capello. Not unrealistic. That's worth a tenner, surely.
Georgina Cooper, 26, founder of PretaPortobello.com. 3 years ago, Georgina Cooper found herself lying on the sofa of her two older sisters' flat, without a job and wondering what to do with herself. She'd just graduated from Bournemouth University with a design degree and had spent a few months doing work placements in fashion houses. It was really awful, she says now. It was such a competitive environment, with long hours for no reward, and it was not what I wanted to do. The recession made it harder to find the ideal job. I felt I'd end up having to settle for something. Instead, with the help of her sisters, Lisette and Victoria, she decided to turn what she already liked doing, trawling London's Portobello market for clothes, into a viable online business. I used to go to Portobello all the time, and my friends at uni would always ask, "Oh, where did you get that?" When I told them, they'd say, "We live too far away to get down there." So we had this idea to make the market available online for people who couldn't get there or didn't want to go when it was raining. The result was PretaPortobello.com, a one-stop internet shop for unique finds, including one-off vintage pieces and a Let's Trade area, which allows users to barter for pieces with a virtual stall holder. The sisters funded it with their savings, buying stock outright from market traders and then selling it on at a markup. "When we launched in May 2008, we weren't expecting it to be so popular," admits Cooper, who now employs a PR company to deal with media inquiries. "We meet in their cramped offices in central London, lined with racks of brightly coloured clothes and hand-printed scarves. The next thing I know, I'm in this tiny flat in Fulham, surrounded by boxes, with no room to move. We didn't have any buying experience, and we still don't. All we knew was the stuff we liked." But their taste seemed to strike a chord. The sisters are now generating enough money to pay each other a very small salary, and Cooper has plans to expand the site to incorporate markets across the world in Australia, Brazil and Italy. Last year she won £1,000 in a Daily Mail Enterprising Young Brit Award and promptly lost it. "To this day I haven't found it," she says, blushing. "After a few days, I had to email the lady and tell her." When she received the replacement cheque, what did she use it for? "It went straight back into the business. I could have gone on holiday with it, but if you have your own business, that goes out of the window. I'd have felt too guilty."
Nico Williamson, 27, founder of Climate Cars. Nico Williamson's office is in a state of organised chaos. The shelves are filled with an assorted jumble of stuff. Two Blackberries, a copy of The Economist, a Jamiroquai album, piles of loose change, and the novel One Day by David Nichols, which he has yet to read. "No time," he explains, looking wistfully out of the window at the Battersea heliport in southwest London. "I need to go on holiday to read books." It's no surprise that Williamson is busy. In 2007, he launched the carbon-neutral cab company Climate Cars, after graduating in modern history from Bristol University. 3 years on, the business employs 14 full-time staff, runs a fleet of 70 cars, and has a £2.4 million annual turnover, generating £1.6 million in profit. "I was always obsessed with starting businesses when I was little," says the 27-year-old, who grew up in the Dorset countryside. "It's sad, but I remember I used to get excited by Richard Branson." During his degree, Williamson had a couple of internships with various hedge funds in the summer holidays, but it didn't click with me, just watching other people do things. He had the idea for Climate Cars after driving past a garage in Bristol that offered environmentally friendly car conversions. "I always loved cars but felt guilty about loving them," admits Williamson, whose great-grandfather, William Watson, was a racing car driver. His portrait is propped up against one office wall. "Then I thought, why not make taxis greener?" That's where it all came from. He sought investment from his family and friends and put together a business plan while writing his dissertation on American slavery in Florida. "I'd be in the British Library, and when I was bored of case studies of another slave, I'd do a bit on Climate Cars. A rival green taxi company launched just as he had put the finishing touches to his business plan. But we're different, and aimed more towards the corporate market, says Williamson, whose drivers are told to open doors for passengers and offer them bottled water for the journey. The global financial crisis has, he believes, made entrepreneurship a more attractive career option for his contemporaries. Lots of people have been laid off and putting their redundancy payoffs towards setting up a business. They're realising that working punishing hours for someone else isn't that rewarding. One of my friends has started a taco chain and another has started a fashion website. What are his ambitions for the future? To grow this business into one of the biggest car companies in London and introduce more electric cars to our fleet. And, presumably, to find the time for that David Nichols novel.